This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Gosh, I think we can all relate.
Yeah.
We all had a relative.
Yeah.
Whether it was mom or an aunt, we all had somebody like that in our lives.
Yeah. Didn't have to take them to prom, though, so that's good.
No. But I went to prom with just a friend.
Same. Yeah. So I went with a group of friends, so yeah.
There was no pairing up at all? There was just...
How do you ask
a group of friends?
Yeah, well, we were all, like, single, and we're like, hey, let's not make this weird. Let's just all go in a group.
That's probably the best way to do it, to be perfectly honest. Who bought the corsage?
I think one of my family members did. My daddy did it,
because he's cute like that,
you know.
Very nice, very nice. Had to be a wrist corsage, which are silly, but that's all right. A very quick question. I ran over a skunk this morning.
Uh-oh.
On my drive down from Canada. So, I don't smell like skunk.
Good.
As far as I know. The inside of my car doesn't smell it. The outside of my car smells like skunk. How do we get rid of that?
So we have to buy big tubs of, is it tomato juice that supposedly works, and just car wash it with tomato juice.
Can I just drive over tomato juice? I think it's just probably on one of my tires,
right?
Both of my tires. I don't know.
Maybe throw some salsa on it if you don't have tomato
Very
juice.
Very nice. Be good. Oh, I have all-terrain. I have a four-wheel drive car, so I have a Jeep, so I could drive through good chunky salsa.
Yeah.
So, we were coming down. My son had a voyage. I don't call it a field trip. Called it a voyage.
Okay.
Today to the Outer Banks. And they left at 6. So we had to leave Granville County at 5:15.
Way too early.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So I'm a little punchy.
That's okay. It's okay.
So let's go.
Peter Mrazek or Alex Nedeljkovic.
Pancakes.
There you go.
Sure.
It's Friday. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. I'll get back to the top here just so we can start on time. All right, here we go. We do have a lot of football to sift through today. But we're going to start with something that hasn't, well, I guess it's happened, but we're going to start with the Panthers, and then we'll get to last night. So I think pretty alarming for people who saw this piece on NFL Live with Dan Orlovsky. It's his utter evisceration of Panthers' play design and tendencies. So just allow me quickly to set it up. So it's Dan Orlovsky at the video board, and he's got the Panthers, and he starts off by saying, Panthers fans, this is coaching malpractice. But which, by the way, you're just feeding the beast at this point. It's red meat to the beast. And the thrust of this is Christian McCaffrey's positioning in relation to Baker Mayfield in shotgun formations at the snap. As Orlovsky points out, and he says repeatedly, I am not cherry picking here. This happened all game long. We'll get to that in a minute. Christian McCaffrey, 1 yard behind Baker Mayfield, whether it's to the left or to the right, it's an automatic run or an RPO. If Christian McCaffrey is... as he said, at the same level, hip to hip with Baker McCaffrey, either side, it's a pass. And all the highlights Dan Orlovsky showed, and it was, I think it was 4 or 5, back it up. I would submit that the Panthers ran a lot more than 4 or 5 plays, but either way. So here's, I just set it up. Here's Orlovsky wrapping up the segment.
Field. Right now, the Carolina Panthers are giving away the play, whether run or pass, to defenses. I'm not sitting here telling everybody that Baker Mayfield's playing great or that their offensive line is a dominant unit. But every single snap in these games, when Christian McCaffrey is 1 yard behind Baker Mayfield in the shotgun, it is a run or an RPO. When Christian McCaffrey is next to Baker Mayfield with his depth, it is a pass. That is unacceptable in the NFL for the Carolina Panthers coaching staff.
It's like...
All right. If Dan Orlovsky is correct, oi, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't need any more ammunition. And we're going to talk about this with Chris McClain from the Mac Attack in Charlotte in about 10 minutes. We don't need any more ammunition to think that the NFL is too much for Matt Rhule, although this would probably be more of a Ben McAdoo problem than a Matt Rhule problem.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
But now is where I put up my hold on just a second hat, because I am no defender of Matt Rhule or Ben McAdoo, who we all felt was kind of one of those guys who just happened to be a head coach for the Giants for a hot minute. I am not defending the current coaching regime. But I also think it's sort of outrageous to even suggest that a coaching staff would be so naive, so dumb, as to essentially tell the other team what plays we're running.
Every single time.
I just, as much as I don't like Matt Rhule as a coach, and I like, again, I keep saying this, I like Matt Rhule as a guy. I just can't go there and say that this is what they do every time. Like, I'm not going to, I will make the joke with Chris McClain in about 8 minutes now, that maybe what Matt Rhule is doing is setting up the long con. So the Saints are coming in. They've now seen this piece. Oh, look at that. Every time McCaffrey's... I see what he's doing now is he's going to flip... Excuse me. He's going to flip it and go the other way.
Right? Reverse psychology.
Every time McCaffrey is 1 yard deep in the backfield behind Mayfield, they're going to throw it. And every time he's lined up with, you know, hip to hip, now they're going to run it. They're going to sneak it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's hope. Maybe.
Look, there's no way it's every play. There's just no way it's every play. But it's certainly made for a good 2-minute segment that got Panthers fans even more riled up against the head coach.
And I'll be watching Sunday.
I know you will. I know you will. And we'll be logging this.
Yes.
Oh, it was
every
Christian
time.
McCaffrey. Is he a yard? Is he a yard behind Baker Mayfield? It's 11 times in a row.
Oh, it's RPO.
Oh, my gosh. Here it comes. All right. So we're all going to do that on Sunday, watching the Panthers and the Saints. Because we've been sentenced to watch that. All right, let me get to the next game. Actually, it's the game last night where the Browns ran away from the Steelers. Final score was 29-14. I don't know where all the points came from in this game. I didn't think we were going to have any points in this game. Pittsburgh was in good shape, I thought, before the half at 14-13. But if we're being honest, the Browns were the better team even in the first half. They were the better team throughout the game. Jacoby Brissett and company, they had to win this game based on losing at home to the Jets the previous week, especially in the manner in which they lost to the Jets. And Brissett, I thought, played very well.
For sure. Just because it is such a short week, you know, and like I said, up here that day, I think we had the right men in that room to be able to get past it. And I think we answered that call today, and we knew it wasn't going to be easy. We had to look each other in the face and look ourselves in the mirror and say, like, listen, like, man, the season's going on. Like, the longer we sulk about that one, then we won't be where we need to be for this game. And I think the guys answered the bell and came out with a big one tonight.
Again, I thought Cleveland was clearly the better team. They rushed for 171 yards. Pittsburgh is... I thought Pittsburgh... Again, I thought Pittsburgh played a pretty good half. I thought they were in good shape. I thought Mitch Trubisky was really good in the first half. Just before the half. 1 point lead. Just on the other side of midfield. With enough time to pick up another 10 or 15 yards and get Chris Boswell, one of the best kickers in the league, on the field with a chance to make it... I mean, 17-13 is it's not insurmountable, but... A little bit more positive feel going into the locker room. I mean, they were just a mess at that point. They were gushing over Matt Canada's offense, and then that all ended with three plays, whatever. They didn't even throw a ball in the end zone. Trubisky rolls out with 6 seconds left, and there's a four-yard completion with the clock expiring. I'm like, what are we doing here? Anyway, here, Trubisky, who again, I thought played a good first half, on where it kind of got away.
I think a little bit of rhythm, and then we just didn't hit on the plays we needed to. We had some crucial plays in the second half that if we get those plays, it might have been a different story, and we just didn't hit on them. So I think there's a few more details in there that we'll have to go back and watch on the film, but that's kind of what it felt like in the second half. Just those plays we needed to hit, we just didn't, and we got to go watch the film and see how we can get better.
Again, I thought Mitch played well in the first half. The fact that the Steelers, forget about not getting a field goal attempt. The fact that with 6 seconds left, they didn't throw it into the end zone from the plus side of the field. I just don't understand that. I don't, for the life of me, understand how that is allowed. Right. I just don't. So anyway, we'll get a couple of more things in here before we talk to Chris McClain. For those people who thought I was jumping the gun on the year-long suspension for Ime Udoka, and you know who you are, he did get a one-year suspension by the Celtics, not by the league. He apologized, and now the Celtics are trying to back up their Eastern Conference title with an interim coach. Here's Jay Williams from ESPN on the suspension.
If it was consensual, like, why wouldn't that be like 20, 25 games? Like, to me, like, if there was consent there, okay, you violated this, but you're coming off being to a championship game. You're on the verge of your team being the best team in the Eastern Conference, along with the Milwaukee Bucks, the Nets. We're right there again. Let's be real about what owners value at the end of the day. Winning championships. Winning, right? Even a progressive league like the NBA. So just leads me to think, and it leads to the question key, what else is there that would deem the team to lead to a year-long suspension?
That's what I've been saying. There's more to this story that they are not saying. Wick Grosbeck is, they call him the governor of the Boston Celtics. He is in charge of this situation and explains how they are moving forward with an interim coach.
The suspension is for a season through June 30th, and we will make a determination at a later time about Ime's future with us, and that'll be discussed another time and has not been decided at this point. I am concerned about the situation and its impact on everybody in the Celtics organization. And I do hope this represents the beginning of a new chapter and a chance to turn the page and move forward with things to some extent resolved. And I am personally very confident in the people we have here, starting with my partner and head of basketball, Brad Stevens, and everybody on the staff and the roster and the training staff and the front office and in the business office of the Celtics. We're going to stand together as a family and we're going to move forward.
This is more than a consensual relationship. It has to be. If Jay said, look, if it's a consensual relationship, even though it's a violation of, I guess, team policy, I don't even think it would have been 25 games. I think it would have been the preseason, and I think it would have been a fine, and I think we've been moving on. It's just not the same as a regular job. I'm sorry. It's just not. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN also added in his report that there's no guarantee that Udoka regains his position. next year. And
there is nothing but uncertainty about really whether Ime Udoka will ever coach the Boston Celtics again. Not only is he suspended for the season, but Boston has not committed that he would be back next season. And certainly, listen, this is still a coach who is going to garner interest around the league. The final chapter of his coaching career, I don't think, has been written. And I think there is the possibility that there are going to be other teams who are going to be interested in him, maybe as soon as this season. But Ime Udoka and Brad Stevens, listen, this was a very close relationship. The suspension is certainly frayed. I think the trust, the relationship there, we'll see if they can rebuild it.
I mean, it's going to be hard. I don't know how Boston gets through this. I mean, I'm not speculating that they can't. This is way more serious than a consensual relationship. It has to be, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't have done this. They wouldn't have taken a really, really good coach and basically, I mean, for all intents and purposes, they just fired him. All right, real quick, President's Cup in Charlotte, 4-1, United States. A little bit closer than the that score might indicate. Four of the five matches could have gone either way. One of them obviously did go the way of the internationals. But, man, they better do some work today. And they are, I think, the fourth match is about to take the course. We're not going to talk about that at all, although I'm sure Chris McClain might be headed out there. The Mac from Mac Attack, WFNZ Mornings in Charlotte, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. What is going on? Are you going out to President's Cup at all this weekend?
No, I am not on football only this weekend. I'm on the couch Saturday. I'm at the Panther game on Sunday. But I will say this. That President's Cup team for the U.S. is a lot more fun to watch than what our men's soccer team was earlier today. I know you're a soccer man,
yeah.
And that was ugly.
Yeah, 2-0, no-show, uninspired against brutal. Japan. Yeah, Japan's not great either. Yes, I'm trying to convince myself it didn't matter. It was just a friendly. But every time they take the field, it matters to me. How much mileage did you get out of the Dan Orlovsky video this morning?
It was definitely the thing the Panther fans were curious about the most. They wanted to talk about the most. I mean, we obviously talked about the Saints game, and is this possibly, could it be the game they actually win? But the Orlovsky thing had everybody's attention because it was, first of all, Orlovsky was, beside himself.
Yes.
Right? Unacceptable. Coaching malpractice.
Yeah.
He said he had never seen anything like this in the NFL again. And so if Panther fans look at that, they're already down on this coaching staff. Rule in general, McAdoo has not gotten off to a great start, obviously. So I think Panther fans looked at this and were concerned, like, man, is this staff even more of a joke than we thought? And I know this, I watched the plays back this morning, like all the shotgun plays. I'll say this, Adam, it's not 100%
right,
like to what Dan was saying in terms of like where McCaffrey was lined up in a shotgun, the play was predictable, but I'd be damned if it wasn't close.
Yeah.
It might have been like 29 of the 32 snaps were exactly what he's saying. So if the other team if the Giants pick up on that and are guessing, they're guessing right most of the damn time. It just added to the list of concerns about this staff, I guess.
Chris McClain, Mac from Mac Attack in Charlotte, WFNZ Mornings. I spoke to a good friend of mine. I sent him the video. He has experience in coaching. I'll just leave it at that. And he said, there is no question that there is something to be alarmed at there. But he also says that because the coaches aren't really dumb. We probably all agree that Matt Rhule is in over his head in the NFL. I think, as much as I like Matt Rhule as a guy, and I keep saying that whenever you say that, it's like it's a nice personality. But he's clearly in over his head. But what this guy told me was that I am sure that they have a play that they obviously didn't use against the Giants for whatever reason, where they will line up McCaffrey hip to hip with Mayfield and run it out of that play. And I know I was joking with you on through Twitter today about it's just the long con that they're waiting to spring a flip on the Saints.
But they've got to have other options. I'm not an RPO guy anyway, but regardless, they've got to have other options out of the same formation. They just don't know that they have the personnel to do anything.
Well, that's another question too, right? Personnel is another question we got to ask about. I will say this. It didn't look like they ran the ball any times that McCaffrey was side by side with Baker mm-hmm. last week, but they did do the opposite of what Orlovsky was saying the tell was on the ones where McCaffrey was behind him by a yard. And there one of those was the 26-yard play action to DJ Moore early first half on their only touchdown drive of the game. So I don't know, like, did they do it? I think three times in the first half they ran it in that formation. Mm-hmm. Were they setting that up in the second half? Am I giving them too much credit? I don't know. I don't know, man. But you could be right. Listen, there's personnel issues with this team as well. It's just a bummer, Adam. You know, I know I'm a Panther homer. I'm not going to lie about that. I really believed that, you know, Baker's an upgrade.
Yeah.
I believe that the coaching staff moves, like even McAdoo, when he was an OC for 2 years with the Giants, man, he got Eli going again, yeah. Cut down on Eli's interceptions. The offensive line, I still believe it's better, but I think I thought it would be performing better than this. I really thought they were improved, and here we go two games into the season, and it's the same thing. Can't figure out a way to close a football game out. Something always goes wrong late, you know?
So, and early. I don't believe that they haven't put all of their bad into one area of the football game. Look, Mac from Mac Attack is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Why did they put Christian McCaffrey on the injured list if he would, or on the injury report, not on the injured list, on the injury report for yesterday's practice when they knew he was going to practice in full today? And he said he was perfectly healthy. Why not just say vet day? And then at the end, if you have to put him on the injury report because gambling and the NFL wants those things as accurate as possible, then you put him as questionable with an ankle. Why did they do that yesterday to create more issues for themselves?
Dude, it's a great question because remember a couple weeks ago he literally got, you know, a cleat to the shin, and there was a cut on his shin.
Yeah.
And they put that on the injury report, and my Lord, Panther fans lost their mind like worried mamas do when their kids are playing Pop Warner football. I mean, Panther fans were just freaking out. And I'm like, guys, I think he got a cut on his shin. Like, if your five-year-old had that in a soccer game, you'd probably tell him to toughen up, you know? So I don't know. And then, like, did they have to do it then? The answer then was they just want to make sure they follow the protocols, right? Like, hey, this is an injury, we have to do it. I guess, are they following the protocols here that his ankle is a little messed up and that's why he wasn't practicing? But McCaffrey seemed to think it was ridiculous himself.
Yeah.
I mean, his line in the locker room yesterday to the media was, he goes, they put me on there for that. He goes, at this point, I could go take a leak, and while I'm in the bathroom, they would put me on the injury report. So, like, clearly he thinks he's tired of being asked about his health, and all they do for him on the day of his presser, by the way, that's his one non-Sunday presser of the week. And on the day of that presser, they put him on the report, and it seems like even he's kind of annoyed, you know, by that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are confusing about this team. Let me ask you this as we close up shop here. How much of this for you leads back to David Tepper?
We talked about this week because Matt Rhule, and you see it too, and you hear it too, I'm sure. Matt Rhule gets 90-something% of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, like, Baker hasn't played well. There are tons of things. The defense in the first game was atrocious against the run. But it seems like it all comes back to Rhule for most Panther fans. But we're talking about it this week, like, it all starts up top. Like, Matt Rhule, David Tepper was desperate to get him. It wasn't just like he made this hire.
Mm-hmm.
He was desperate, Adam. You remember it. He was going to get on a plane to Jersey to go interview with the Giants. And Tepper's like, no, you can't do it. I'm going to give you $63 million to make you the fifth highest paid coach mm-hmm. in the NFL with only 1 year of assistant, you know, experience in this league. He was desperate to have him. So if this hire, and it's looking damning right now, if he can't turn this thing around, it's completely on Tepper. And then there are so many other things that David Tepper's been involved in, you know, the quarterback friskiness. You know, where they're after Watson, they're after Stafford. I mean, they're just all over the
everybody.
Place. he's been a big part of that. You look at, hell, there was back in Rivera's final year before he was fired, Rivera switches to a 3-4 defense, and I'm thinking, well, that's an interesting move from Ron, but he does have 3-4 history. Well, then a report comes out that Tepper told him, hey, go play 3-4, and basically the reason given was, oh, his Pittsburgh Steelers play 3-4.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, I mean, he really, you know, and Adam, I don't want to act like if you're struggling as an NFL owner early on, that's the way you're always going to be. Mm-hmm. I've heard the Boston media talk about Kraft initially. It was all over the place, and he eventually hired the right people and settled down. Obviously, Belichick and Brady, I don't know if we're going to get the second coming to them. But I do think there's hope he learns how to be an owner. But early on, yeah, he's got to be considered a big part of this, right?
Yep. I've said this before. Just like quarterbacks take time, owners also take time. Not everybody gets it right away. I use the example of George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner, in my opinion, was a terrible owner for the Yankees. Then he got suspended, had to go away for a while, and then other people ran the team, put it in good shape, and Steinbrenner came back as like, oh, look what these guys have done for me. And he was still bombastic and George, but he was a different Steinbrenner at that point.
Yeah.
And at the end, he became a good owner. We're still waiting for that for Jerry Jones, by the way. But that's another story altogether. Chris McClain, Mac Attack from Charlotte WFNZ at Mac WFNZ on Twitter. Hey, thank you very much for doing this, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, brother. Be good.
You got it. All right, when we come back, a little bit more about, not too much, about Ime Udoka, what happened, what may have happened, but also, I don't know how many people listen to J.J. Redick's podcast on the NBA, but he had Ben Simmons on the most recent edition of that podcast, and I thought it was a really interesting conversation between Redick and Simmons about the dunk that never happened, among other things. We'll talk about a few of those things with Brendan Whitty. But the suspension of Ime Udoka, Boston Celtics head coach, I guess we can still call him that because he hadn't been fired yet. But there is also no guarantee that he's coming back after this season. A season-long suspension for a consensual, intimate relationship with a fellow Boston Celtics employee. When I saw the news yesterday, I just thought, that's confusing. That seems awfully harsh for a good coach. Let's see how Brendan Whitted, our NBA analyst, League Pass Lair, processed that. All right, so let's start there. By the way, at HU Cosell on Twitter. When you...
That's a hell of a lead-in.
Thank you very much. How did you process that? When I saw the story, I just quote-tweeted the story and went, I'm confused. I can't tell you how many responses. What's so confusing? If I'd done that at my job... I'm like, okay, your job is just like being the head coach of the Celtics, unless you're Greg Popovich, probably not. So when you saw that story and you saw what the suspension was likely to be, how did you process it?
Full moment of transparency, I was like, damn, that's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot. Because I know this is not apples to apples, but Sarver got a year.
Okay, yeah.
For decades worth of stuff. But as I sat with it, as I talked with it, and as there, I feel like there's more coming out. That's honestly where I feel with it, that there's more coming out. And like per se, this is a violation of the Celtics code of conduct with their employees, and I understand why. Subordinates and the people that that kind of rule them in jobs and stuff, it's rife for being able to be abused.
Yep.
Like it is. Like even good or bad, right? Like for you can either not put them up for things that they should be or put them on to things that they should not have been. And it affects not only them, but the people that their coworkers, right? Because I've seen a lot of on social media because this is how this got rolled out to us. Oh, it's just like dating a coworker. It's not like dating a coworker. You're not coworkers.
Right. He's in a position of power. It's a different animal, and that's what makes it worse for him. Let me just Let me kind of drill down here a little bit more, and we're going to get to Robert Sarver because it's a separate issue. What we're going to talk about with Sarver is a separate issue from Udoka. My first thought was they're not taking a coach who was that good off the court for this long unless there is a lot more. And I'm going to read from the latest story here because what they said was an external investigation, which was conducted over a period of months, found multiple violations of team policies. I feel like, and I said this yesterday, I feel like they've used the intimate relationship, which is not allowed under company policy. I feel like they've used that as the doorway with which to walk through this, but there has to be so much more to this than just an intimate relationship, because that seems kind of tame. Like if Marcus Smart had an intimate relationship with, I don't know, a Celtics cheerleader, they ain't suspending him for a year.
Right.
So I feel like that there's just more, and I'm not going to get nefarious about this, but I just feel like there has to be a lot more to the story.
It feels like there's a lot more. And so, like, that's honestly where I've been at with it. I've just kind of been like, let's wait for a second about what's going to come out and what is not going to come out. Now, look, Twitter and Instagram are not good places to wait.
No,
that's not a solid place to just wait. Hey, well, let's wait until all the facts unfold. You know what? Social media has not been with that. Now, I will say that Woj dropping that joint at like 10 p.m. and be like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
Hey, my guy. Like, let's understand your audience. Like, I even had to delete some tweets. I was like, no. Brendan, pull it back, because speculation is going to run rampant, and that's kind of where we are right now. And also because
over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Just speak frankly, his old lady, Nia Long, is a very prominent actress.
Yes, she is.
Stuff like that. So, like, it's going to get covered from people that do not cover sports.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In a way, but they cover mess, though. They cover mess.
Yep.
So it's going to be out of pocket. Like, it's going to, like, for the next couple of days, it's just going to be out of pocket. And we just got to kind of sit with that until all of this stuff unfolds and we can just fully digest all of this. Because on its face, a year suspension from a guy who was a first year head coach and took you to the finals is a lot.
That's just, it's crazy. And that's what was so confusing to me. There has to be more to the story. By the way, there is no patience font or button on Twitter. I know that. At HU Cosell on Twitter for Brendan Whitted. Let's do the Robert Sarver thing, and I want to separate it from Ime Udoka, although I think for a lot of people there are similarities here. I said this at the time when Adam Silver had his press conference last week, that you could tell if you listen between the lines, Silver wanted to do more than 1 year and a $10 million fine. He wanted to, but it's tough to kick your boss, one of your bosses, out of his job. So that he, and I think just watching and listening to Silver, it was to me obvious that he definitely wished he could have gone further. And I don't think he had any problem with Chris Paul or LeBron James or Draymond Green criticizing him for not doing enough.
Right.
Do you think he worked behind the scenes to convince Robert Sarver to sell the team?
Yes, yes. I'm going to cut you off right there, 100%. In the same way that they did for Sterling, right? Again, I'm going to come back to this. They did not vote yes or down on Sterling removing himself from the Clippers organization and selling the team. They did this is a very, very similar situation where people are talking to him in real life, right? Because that, like, real life does happen. I know it doesn't feel like that on Twitter. It doesn't feel like that on Instagram. But real life does happen. And it's people talking to him like, hey, it's 30 guys, all men, talking to one.
Yes.
Like, hey, my guy. You gotta, right? Because you're still getting $2 billion, right? You're still getting $2 billion.
Right.
Like, so it's not really the worst thing in the world, but it's like, my guy, come on, man. Come on. Like, just do this for us. And at some point, you get tired of all of your actual coworkers.
Yeah.
There you go. All of your actual coworkers telling you, hey, man, enough of that. Enough of that. Like, you were wilding. You were wilding for decades. It's enough of that. And that's what essentially happened. It doesn't behoove any owner to be over here like, you need to do this. You need to do that publicly, because they can always talk to them privately and not set a precedent, because
right.
That's what they're always afraid of. They're always afraid of the precedent of, hey, you did this. Now your franchise is taken away from, was it 3/4 of the ownership group, 2/3, 3/4,
yeah.
Whatever it is. Like, okay, cool. We don't have to do that. We can just hit you on the DMs.
Because they would never do that. They would never vote to get rid of a guy, because so many of these guys know. Leave it at that.
They like, know. They know what the shake is. They know what the shake is.
Glass
man.
Houses. They live
glass. Glass damn houses. That's where they're living. That's right where they're living. Just chilling in their glass house. Because I'm sure Sarver was like, but didn't you?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. It wasn't public, and that's the difference.
That's why Dan Snyder still owns the Washington Commandos. Final thing, and this is about basketball. I don't know if you are a listener at all to J.J. Redick's Old Man and the Three podcast, but if you're an NBA fan, it's a great listen. J.J. is awesome at this. He's great on TV too. I didn't listen to all of it, but I listened to the chunk of he and Ben Simmons talking about the dunk that never happened that we have all used, guilty as charged right here, to eviscerate Simmons as a player, as an offensive player, because he passed up a dunk. That conversation didn't change my opinion of what Ben Simmons is as a player. I still think he's limited and he should not be of that stature. But regardless, it changed my opinion of that moment. What did you think of Simmons? Like, yeah, man, I didn't know. I thought I had less time and that's why I gave it up. What did you think of that part of the conversation?
I'm only like halfway through it, so I haven't hit that part of the conversation. But like,
you've heard the clip, though.
Yeah, no, I have heard the clip. You know, it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same vibe. Like, bang on it, bang on that guy, bang on that guy.
Okay.
Like, you're at the cup. Bang on him. And like
he says he wished he had.
Yeah, but it's a mentality. But like, honestly, you can't. This is not a end all be all, because we saw JJ Barea lock up LeBron James, right? Like, mm-hmm. we've seen great athletes be more mentally flummoxed than physically,
mm-hmm.
but like it does matter. And so like that's why I'm always like, hey, what we're seeing now isn't a complete full picture of Ben Simmons. I think the Nets are going to win the championship. Like I legitimately do, because I look at that roster. I'm like, geez, Louise. But it's also because I saw Andrew Wiggins, who was vilified for not being that guy in Minnesota, be the exact same person in Golden State.
Well.
No.
You're right. He was the same person.
He's the same guy.
But
he's the same guy.
That guy with Curry.
Right.
And
exactly.
Other players around
Ben
him.
Ben Simmons with Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same, but I'm not saying you're wrong, by the way.
Is it not?
They are the most talented team in the East easily.
Be the same guy at a different place. Like the tweet has been running through all of Twitter. A bottle of water when you buy it is $1 at the store, and at the stadium is $3 on the side of whatever.
Right.
Right? Like, it just depends on where you are. Andrew Wiggins, when he was at with Minnesota, I don't like him, despite him being, he might be all-star. He might be averaging 20 points a game. I don't like him. Going to State, same exact guy, all-star.
Yeah. The ben environment.
Simmons on Golden State, I mean, and Ben Simmons on the Brooklyn Nets, same guy. Hey, I'm going to distribute. I'm going to play defense on every single person.
Simmons
might be a championship winning sort of squad.
Yeah, my only pushback to that, as we have to say goodbye to Brendan Whitted at HU Cosell on Twitter, is that the culture in Golden State is very different from the culture in Brooklyn, where everybody was trying to get out.
You don't believe in Kyrie?
No, I don't. I don't believe in Kyrie, but I do believe in talent. And if they can, if Kyrie and Kevin Durant stay healthy,
they monsters. It's not just them. It's TJ. It's Warren. It's Cam Thomas. It's
Joe Harris. It's everything. Yeah.
It's a whole squad. If they can keep their minds together, that's a whole squad of monsters.
Such a huge if with Kyrie. All right, man. We got to run. Brendan Whitted at HU Cosell, League Pass Lair. I will talk to you later, my friend.
Absolutely.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.